that happened just last night. What I do is when I was raised younger, my parents or my father would tell me, yeah, anybody can come out with what they'll do for our Father in Jesus Christ. I'll do this, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. They come up with this whole list. There's a neat thing in the financial world or in the insurance world. Excuse me. If you want to find out how good an insurance policy is, you don't read the benefits. You go to the exclusions. You start with the exclusions, you find out, oh, this exclusion, and that's how you start with and find out what's the best insurances. And so what my parents did with me as I was raised, they said, consider what you will not get. And start there. And that takes faith. You're not going to want to do that. I don't want to talk about what I won't do for you. But it is a good way to start. And even if you don't, you might not ever change those things, but at least you address it and you go, this is an area of my life that needs improvement. And Father, show me how, and Christ, show me how to work on it. And they will. But in my life, a couple of years ago, I was on my knees going, what do I need to improve in my life? And he said, I want you to run an hour. For like a bodybuilder, running an hour is not a good idea. It makes things long. I didn't want to do that. But if that's what he wanted, it was neat because the regular revelation that I would normally get, it stopped completely. I didn't have the peace that I normally had until I finally gave in and I ran for an hour. And guess what happened? About 45 minutes into it, the revelation started coming. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here comes the peace. I just started getting, I went, wow, look at this. And so for about 4 years, I run for about an hour once a week. It's my first fruit to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, through Christ. And that's what he wants me to do. It's my faith offering. And as I pray for people, he tells me who to pray for, what to pray for, and he gives me wonderful revelation. And so as I'm running, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about others. And he starts telling me what I need to do with these people. It's wonderful. But last night, I'm getting ready to run on a treadmill. The nice thing about a treadmill is that I can hit a speed and then I know how fast I've done, if I've improved or not. And I got ready to get on the treadmill and I got a revelation. A word of knowledge is stop. Word of wisdom is what's going to happen. I got a word of knowledge. Something great's going to happen tonight. Okay, what is it? He goes, you're gonna do something you've never done. All right, that sounds good. Now the fastest I've ever gone for an hour besides my half marathon is to hit 7 miles an hour on a treadmill. That means it doesn't stop. And to go for an hour. It is very, very difficult. And it's the fastest I've ever done this. Well, as I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm doing something, I'm gonna do something better than I've ever done before. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to run 7.5 miles an hour? That doesn't sound very fast. You know, half a mile faster? What? And I'm trying to think, okay, maybe 7.5 is too fast. How about 7.2? All right, well, that's what I'll do. I wasn't sure what to do, so I put 7.2. I get started get running, and all of a sudden I get confirmation again. Peace. You're going to do something great today. All right, great. I'm working. Yeah, I'm going good. And as I'm doing this, I'm breathing. I dedicate a song. A Father gives me revelation. Yahweh gives me revelation on how many songs per person. And so I go to one song as I'm listening to it. And so Aaron, it's your Father's first. Okay. How many songs? 5 songs. Okay. So I go one song and then he gives me the subject. And I speak in tongues. I pray perfectly for that individual on this subject. And I get to the next song. So I'm thinking about a song. Each song, and that's how he gets me through this hour race. Well, as I get started off, I'm like, man, I feel good. I'm like, bah, like a horse right out coming out of the stall. I'm like, man, things are working great. Yeah, going well. And then about 45 minutes into it, things aren't working so great. 7.2, this is a heck of a lot harder. It didn't seem harder, but this is impossible. I can't do this. Not for an hour. I've never gone faster than 7 miles an hour for an hour, one speed. You can do it with fluctuating speeds and stuff. So most treadmills, it fluctuates and it's tricking your mind. But just to clock in, and if I don't produce, I'm thrown off. It would be really humiliating. But anyway, I get to 7.2 and I'm breathing going, wait a minute. How am I going to be praying for these people if I just stop? Do you want me to stop running? Is that what you're trying to teach me to be able to stop running? Please, tell me, stop. No? No? What's the point of this thing? Why did you want me to do this? I'm about ready to have a breakdown because this is impossible. Mm. And guess what happened?
He did.
Aaron, that's the point of this whole thing. What's the point? I want you to do something that's impossible.
What he did, what Christ did this that yesterday, is he took me to the edge of me. And that was the end of me. I'm at the edge of this cliff. That's it. there's nothing else. There's nothing left. And obviously, you don't ever want to hurt yourself. So you're walking by the Spirit when you're doing something like this. He goes, you're going to do something different. What do you want me to do? And I didn't know what to do. I didn't get any more revelation, but I wasn't supposed to stop. So what I did is I started, okay, well, who else am I supposed to be praying for? Here's mom, and here's mom's prayers, and here's this song. It's one, okay, she gets five songs, but you get four. Five? Man. She must have an issue. Yeah. Anyway, here's one song, two songs, finally, the thing is, when you're running, you have to look at small things. If you look so far off in the distance, you're not going to do it. You can't do it. The hardest thing with running is this.
Yeah.
It's the gray matter in between here, the 8 pounds. And finally, believe it or not, I got through mom and dad's prayers. And then I'm flying and I'm going, I've come this far, but there's no way that I'm going to finish it. 7.2, this. Point two, guys. Point two. It's point two. I'm glad I didn't do it. Well, maybe I should have done 7.5. I don't know. But anyway, but point two was incredible. It was impossible. And all of a sudden, I was being taught at a whole other thing. That's right. It is impossible. And once you, the only way you're going to get through this, Aaron, is with me. That's it. You can't do this without me. If you don't focus on me, if you don't do what I say, if you're not obedient with every single word, guess what's going to happen here? What? So much for being a show-off in the gym, you're going to get topped off the treadmill. And everybody's already looking at me anyways. It'll be humiliating. Well, that won't be the end of the world. And everybody in here probably knows I could use another humility lesson. But anyways, but the thing was, I got to the end, and guess what?
Yeah.
I made it. 7.2. Wow. It did. When I went into it, I'll do 7.2. Didn't seem like a big deal, but once I did it, I was like, that was impossible. It was impossible. He took me to the edge of me. The edge of me, and that was it. Now what else was it? It was sink or swim. And he goes, come on. You thought about this? You understand that if I have broken legs, I can't walk. All right, or whatever. You pull a hamstring or whatever. You get hurt or whatever. And he's like, it's up to you, Aaron. I could have quit. Which is, this whole teaching is about classes. And our Father and our Lord teaches us. And we're going to take a couple of glimpses of that Peter. We're going to start off with Matthew, the 14th chapter. The Gospel called Matthew. It's not the Gospel according to Matthew, just for the record. That'd be page 15 in the Rotherham. Would somebody read with gusto the 22nd through the 29th verse?
The 22nd?
Yeah, the 22 through 29.
And straightway constrained he the disciples to enter into a boat, and be going before him unto the other side, while he dismissed the multitudes. And dismissing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening came, alone was he there. Now the boat, still many furlongs from the land, was holding off, being distressed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea. And the disciples, seeing him upon the lake walking, were troubled, saying, It is a ghost? And by reason of their fear, they cried out. And straightway Yehoshua spake unto them, saying, Take courage, it is I, be not afraid. And making answer, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, Come. And descending from the boat, Peter walked upon the waters and came unto Yehoshua.
Amen. Very good, Sean. And the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yehoshua. It means Yahweh salvation. Think about this. I'm going, okay, they're in a storm. They're possibly not going to make it. They see a ghost. Fear, 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 fear. And Christ says, Come. Peter did it afraid. He did it afraid. He was going through everything else, and he just did it. Christ said, come, and what did he do? He got out of the boat. I love John Lennon. He goes, can you imagine the other disciples going, he's actually getting out of the boat. What are you doing, Peter? Christ asked him to do something he couldn't do on his own. But if you say I can do it, that's all that matters. So look at him. Peter got out of the boat, told him to walk on water. Peter did it. This is faith 101 training. Now Christ was raising his disciples. He wasn't going to be with them forever. We're going to turn to the 17th chapter of Matthew. A great teaching by John Lenn about Peter. That's one of my favorite teachings. But it was a great expert with all this. But let me see here. Chapter 17, verse 24. And this is not going to sound like it requires more faith than walking on water. But as I look at it and I started thinking about it more, I think that this could possibly have required more faith than walking on water. And I'll explain here in just a second. And when they came unto Capernaum, they, who the half shekel were receiving, came near unto Peter and said, your teacher, doth he not pay the half shekel? Who saith, yea, and cometh unto the house. Jesus, or Yehoshua, anticipating him, saying, how to thee doth it seem, Simon? The kings of the earth, of whom receive thy dues or taxes, from the sons or from the aliens? And when he said, from the aliens, Yehoshua said unto him, well then, free are the sons. Ha ha ha. But that we may not cause them to stumble, go into the sea, cast a hook, and the first fish that cometh up, take and open its mouth. Thou shalt find a shekel. Take that and give to them for me and for thee. And I love this because word of promise, as you listen to this, how they made it is Christ laughs right after he says that. And there, ha 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 ha, that's where you fund our taxes. Okay, now let's just take a look at this. Who did he ask to go fishing with an unbaited hook? Was it the tax collector? No, it was a fisherman. You can imagine Peter going, I know a little bit about fishing. This does not work this way normally. Walking on water is one thing. Who knows anything about walking on water? Right? Hey, you're walking on water, I'll do what you did. But sometimes when he asks you to do something that you already have knowledge, it could require more faith. Yeah. And here's Peter possibly going, why couldn't he ask the tax collector to go do this? Mm-hmm. This is, oh well, here we go. We're talking about getting tax money out of the fish. I personally think that this could have required more faith on Peter. I believe that Peter was going through faith 101. And he was learning, golly, and look, can you imagine pulling up the tax money going, it's right there, an unbaited hook. And you can imagine after Peter did that, well, I wonder if it was because it was a really shiny hook. You know what? No, it's not. It's because he walked out of faith and our Father told him to do it. Let's turn to Acts, the third chapter. Page 121. In the third chapter of Acts, if somebody would read 1 through 10, please.
Now Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them who were entering into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, was requesting to receive an alms. But Peter, looking steadfastly at him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua the Mashiach, or Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh.
Amen. Can you imagine John looking over at Peter? We get a revelation. Go talk to that guy. Here's Peter. Hey! Did he know what was going to happen? No, because it would have required faith. Hey, you! All right, what's up? Can you imagine John looking at Peter going, oh, and Peter getting done going, look what just happened, guys. And just think about that. He grabbed him. Peter grabbed him. And the guy got healed, and everybody got to see this. What do you think this did for John's faith? Christ does live inside of me. John, Yochanan would have saw the pillar of fire above Peter. That's what showed that where the dwelling place of Yahweh was. We are the temple. We are the nails now. John looked at him. You, if you are a believer, are the nails of the living God. He lives inside of us. And Yochanan would have saw that, or John would have saw it. Then we saw Peter do it. He's going, I'm really believing now. You think that would have stimulated his faith? Yeah. On the fifth chapter, on page 124, Sean, would you read 12 through 15?
And through the hands of the apostles were coming to pass many signs and wonders among the people, and they were all with one accord in the portico of Solomon. Howbeit, of the rest, no one durst join himself unto them. Nevertheless, the people continued to magnify them, and the more were being added. When they believed in the Lord, thronged both of men and women, so that even into the broadways were they bringing forth the sick, and laying them on small couches and beds, in order that, if Peter were coming along, even perchance his shadow might overshadow some one of them.
Say, how wonderful is that? And what's neat is, as we look at just Peter's life with something like that, we go, golly. This was the guy that when he first met Yahushua, he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And that's almost all of us. When he asks us to do something, when he asks you to lead a Bible study, and you're the only person, I don't know anybody who even wants to come. Open up your doors. Does your door have hinges? I mean, John Lennon said that once. You guys want to know, you don't have any place to go to do advanced teachings? No, there's nobody in town. I just, do you have hinges on your door? Open it up. And here this is, and you say, and Peter got started, though. That's what he did. And it's one real neat thing about Peter. But how did he get to the point where the shadow of Peter was healing people? Mm-hmm. We have to look at Peter's life. Peter and the class he went through with Christ Jesus, or Yahushua Mashiach, was it started with small things. And eventually it got into these great things. And what I like to believe is that when Christ was in the earthly ministry with Peter, that was like a lab. And if you've ever been to college or even in high school, there's certain classes you take and you have to take a lab with it. And it's interesting, is there was a guy, I heard a story in the gym, my brother Israel was telling me, but this guy was taking a class, wasn't making sense. His test is just still not making sense. He's reading the book. He's getting D's, low C's. And somebody says, and the guy was regurgitating his frustration with the class. I just don't understand how these things work. This works and this works and this works. And somebody's like, well, didn't you learn that in lab? The guy goes, what's lab? They go, how can you take chemistry without lab? And he's like, well, what is it? And the first problem is he didn't know he was flunking a class, his lab. But the person in that class says, you cannot pass this, you have to take a lab. What is a lab? It shows you how to use this stuff. It shows you how this applies. And then you start learning with your own hands and in your own life and your own experiences how the whole thing works. And then as you start learning how it works in your life or in your hands, you go, wow, this is tangible. Oh, now I know why this won't work. And then you go take the class and all the conceptual things, it starts coming together. It's actually the lab with a lot of the harder courses that wraps everything together. I have been the guy that did not enroll in a lab. And I memorized the verse. And I did this, and this is what got me started in supernatural power. Is I saw Evander Holyfield beat Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was Goliath, and Evander Holyfield was David. And Evander Holyfield didn't say, I'm the greatest. Like Muhammad Ali, he said, I did it through Christ. Philippians 4:13. I go, well, I can do that too.
What I didn't realize is that by seeing the victory with Evander Holyfield, is I did probably did not realize is that Evander had probably enrolled into a lab before he stepped into the ring with Mike Tyson. So I went into the gym, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I grabbed the weight and boom. All right, well, I can't do this. Can't do that. And so it was a pack fail, meaning something's wrong. For 3 months, there was no strength that was there, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm looking at this as what a Holyfield did, but I was learning how faith works. There are a lot of Christians, including myself, where you are quoting Scripture, but you are not currently enrolled in a lab. How does faith work in your life? What is your unbelief? Because your unbelief is not my unbelief. All of us, and if you're really intelligent, I feel sorry for you. Because if you're not intelligent like me, it's like, that's okay, I don't understand a lot of stuff. Actually, most things I don't understand. But if you're really intelligent, well, this doesn't make sense. Then it might be more difficult for you. So if you're just an average IQ like me, it's a lot easier. If you're really smart, it can be more difficult. But it's neat, so when you're looking at Scripture, by His stripes I'm healed. Why am I not healed from this? Question is, well, have you been going to a lab? What do you mean? Or are you just showing up to a class taking tests, and you're trying to get this, and you're forcing yourself through a class, maybe making C minus or a D, you're not getting the results. Why? It could be you're expecting results like your shadow here grabbing somebody out of the wheelchair, and you're not looking how Peter went through a lab. How does this stuff work? A fig tree got cursed. It just seems impossible. And Christ is like, I need to fix your concept. You can move a mountain, guys. Come on, guys. You can move a mountain with this stuff. Faith is a grain of mustard. You can move a mountain. They're going, man, wow, okay. And he was learning all these things, and that's how he got that grape. What's really neat is that football or sports, practice is the lab. And what was really neat, if anybody's ever coached a sport, we'd go into these meetings, I coached high school football, and here's all these people that had these concepts, these master plays. They saw it on SportsCenter. We're going to do this and this, and we're going to throw the ball, we're going to do all these things. And then we'd be like, yeah. We'll try to practice once. And if you had some big trick play or something with the head coach, you got like one shot. And he goes, if we have time, we'll try your crazy master plan. And on paper, everything works. The X's and the O's, and this guy's got good hands and speed. And then you try to practice, and everybody starts laughing at you because it didn't work. Practice through that week was the lab. How does it work? Because you would look. We have the players. Here's the plays. Here's the tendencies. And basically what happens before Friday is you go, scrap this, scrap that. Well, why are you scrapping these perfectly good plays? And they don't work. What do you mean they don't work? They work for the Seattle Seahawks. They don't work for us. And so what we're doing is we're preparing for a game. We're preparing for a test. And what we got to do is figure out what works with you. What works with you. And so maybe eventually all these plays, this playbook, this thing will work for you. But we got to get started to say, what will work? So you test these things. Before you get into a big crisis situation, we need to learn how to exercise our faith like a muscle. So many people are walking into a final examination, and they've never even gone to a lecture. Well, if you're really brilliant, my dad's a real good test taker, Tim's a good test taker, but if I don't fit to a lecture, yeah, good luck. Some people, I can't. But you see, you could be possibly going into tests, and you're not seeing the results. And we go, well, maybe it's just my faith. Well, yeah, it's your faith. We know that there's a problem in shipping, delivering, or receiving. So we're receiving. But why is your faith not working? That's the question. We come back and go, what are you doing in your lab? What are you talking about? Is it healing? Well, yeah. Have you tried healing a dead June bug? That's ridiculous. But you're trying to fix your knee? Oh. Okay, yeah, what's the difference between healing a June bug or a dead plant and replacing a knee? What's the difference? The same designer created a June bug, he built this. And our Father is looking at what he's working with, and he's a master chef, a really good housewife or homemaker can make a gourmet meal out of what's the leftovers. Anybody can take a filet mignon and lobster tail. Look at me. Yeah. Anybody can do that. But can you make goulash? Can you do this? And what do you have? And so what you can do is, with healing, with faith, with believing, with whatever it is, whatever test you're going through, all of us are going through something, and it's not working. So we're going to say, what labs are you incorporating each day? And ask your master, and he's going to say, hey, try this, or try that. Well, that looks stupid. That's foolish. So I laid hands on a dead snake, and I would come back. It didn't work. Come back. I tried it, but you know what? The neat thing is, who was watching me do that? My Father. My Heavenly Father was looking at me. My Lord, Christ Jesus, that He died for me so I can live for Him. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to practice on this dead snake I accidentally killed. I mauled to death. Wake up! Wake up! Come on! That didn't work. Anyways, I'm learning. I'm learning. And so you'll be learning too. And you say, okay, what doesn't work? Well, that didn't work. That's okay. The neat thing about exercise in my lab, which isn't necessarily your lab, is with me, it's pass or fail. It's true or false. You know, there's one nice thing about true or false. It's wrong, right. You go, can I pick up this book? All right, I got faith to move mountains. Okay, my faith didn't rise up. So what did I do wrong? I failed that one. And then you sit there and you talk to your master. He's right in the room. He's right here. Oh, you're here. Okay. So what did I do wrong? And guess what he'll do? He's in the room. He's teaching you. He sees the big picture. He can see in the future. He can see you need to lay hands on a sick person the next day. Do you think Yahweh knew that Peter was going to be before that guy at the gate beautiful? Do you think that Yahweh knew that the guy that was at the gate beautiful that probably saw Christ walk by there maybe 15 times knew that his faith was being built up possibly? Yeah. Do you think Yahweh knew that when Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, that Yahweh goes, man, we got to get Peter's faith built up. How are we going to do that? And here's Yahweh talking to his son going, get Peter to do this. We got to get Peter's faith. And then he walked on water. That's pretty good. But that's what we require more faith. Hey, let's make him do something that would contradict his intellect. Aha! If you're an accountant, maybe he's asking you to not pay the credit card bill. A neat thing is, if you're not enrolled in a faith lab and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, you don't know where to get started, sit there and examine yourself and say, what would require the most faith? It's like the exclusions. What would require the most faith? Oh man, I don't even want to think that. And you sit there and go, okay, well, I'm not there yet. I can't run a full Ironman. I can't run a marathon. I can do this. And then you run it by your master. And if you're in fellowship, if you're in light, as he's in light, well, then he'll say, don't do this. Don't do that. You know what? With me getting running on the treadmill, who has more to lose, me or Christ, if I get hurt? He does. Yeah. Because what if I walk into a situation and it's complete failure and I go, that's it. There's my excuse. Just turn away from ever walking in the supernatural. He can see all those things that are going on. He knows what's at risk. He knows. And he's going to say, okay, you understand this. Yep. Does he see in the future? Yep. Are you a work in progress? Yep. Is he preparing you for a final examination? Yeah. So enroll in a faith class and see what will happen. And what's neat is, if you're lucky, and if you're diligent, if you're seeking them out, it says in 1 Peter, separate yourself. You know what holy means? It means to separate yourself. Mm-hmm. It was a neat thing. I was singing a song, giving an offering, and it occurred to me that it is up to me each day to separate myself into Christ. Each day. How am I supposed to do this? So separate. Ask Him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, we're going to go back to Aaron on the treadmill. And we look at that, and I got done. I got off the phone. I was talking with a girl that I was trying to impress. She goes, "So how'd your running by faith work? How did it work out?" I went, "Well, it was amazing. I did something amazing. Christ did it through me. It was amazing. I was so pumped up because what I was experiencing, it was impossible. There was 20 minutes." Of no, this is going through a storm of a hurricane of tribulation, and I'm like this close to failure. I'm stumbling, and they're like, "So what'd you do?" I'm like, "Probably 7.2 instead of 7. Wow, that's amazing. I'm like, "What? Who cares if you don't think it's amazing? I was there. I was there, and I know what it was. And what did he do? Is he taught me.
he taught me something. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and this is what he was teaching me as I was running. I rolled in a class, and he was waiting for me to pursue him. And as I'm following after him, it's amazing. Sometimes we think Christ is just sitting there. We go, oh, he's in there. It's nice to see you and your lazy boy again. I don't think he sat around very much, personally. I think that the disciples had to keep up with Christ. I think they're always, hey, I want to talk to you for a second. Well, I'm a busy guy. I got stuff to do. I only got 1 year. I got 1 year here. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's 1 year of his ministry. John has the 3 Passovers. But I got 1 year here. I got a lot of stuff. You think he was a busy guy? Yeah. So you imagine he's going somewhere. And you go, okay, so you got to follow him. Follow him each day. You go, where's he asking you to go? Here's a hint. If you don't know, it probably requires faith. Someplace you don't want to go. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Make sure I'm here. And at once he said unto me, and this was Christ or Mashiach speaking to me on the treadmill, sufficient for thee is my favor, for my power in weakness is made complete. He took me to the edge of Aaron. And at the edge of Aaron, I realized, was the beginning of freedom. That's where he wants to take me every day. It's not just a treadmill. And what I learned on that treadmill is that I have not been following him to the ability that he should be today. I should be going to the edge of Aaron every single day. It shouldn't be once a week. This should be I'm very excited about this testimony, but this is like a groundbreaking testimony. And as I'm sitting there, he's going, Aaron, I know this is neat. I'm real proud of you, but I want you to come to this cliff every day. Every day. Not just once a year. Not just at a revival. Every day, because this is where I am. I go, but I'm on the edge of the cliff. And he goes, yeah, see, I'm not on your cliff. I'm on the cloud next to the cliff. I'm on the water, Peter. Oh, and so what he did yesterday is I walked on water. That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. But, it's good. And I go, okay, so what's next? Okay, you're going to want me to do something that's contrary to my intellect. Okay, what would be contrary to my intellect? Okay, then you start imagining. Then I'll read verse 9 again. And at once he said to me, sufficient for thee is my favor. For my power and weakness is made complete. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my weakness that the power of Mashiach may spread a tent over me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness and insults and necessities and persecutions and straits in behalf of Mashiach. For as soon as I am weak, then I am powerful. I was not powerful until I got to the edge of me. It was 45 minutes into a run. And then that was the beginning of strength. That's where he wants us to go every single day. And what we do is, what we want to do is we want to look at our strengths. And then we want to take our strengths to the table. But sometimes Christ is asking us to go someplace where there is no strength. And that was Peter being a fisher of men. And so it's needed. Are you going into games and all you've ever done was looking over playbooks and you never practiced any of these plays? So you wouldn't do that. A football team wouldn't do that. Because if you're going against another team that's practicing these plays, you know what happens? When you start a new program, you learn three plays. This is what we learned when I coached in high school. You learn 3 plays and you do them better than anybody else. Then you build from there. And so it could be that you're going through playbooks, here's analogies, you're reading things, and then you just show up the final examinations and you might be having some failures. That's okay. Hey, if Peter sunk, then go back and say, I need to practice this every day. I need to go to the edge of Aaron every day, because at the end of me is the beginning of freedom. The beginning of this freedom. And so enroll in a daily lab today. And what I was doing, what was wrong, is I was doing Mark 11:23. You shall have what you say. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who has faith. And Philippians 4:13. Those are very popular verses that I say a lot. But what I was not doing is I was not learning how to apply them. And a good theory is if you've been using something, buy a stretch some healer. If you're not seeing the results, okay. Why aren't these things working? Put a footnote. See 2 Corinthians 12:9-10.
are you at the edge of you?
Hmm.
No, I'm not. Okay. Refer to your lab book. I forgot I had a lab book. Then go to your lab book and go, what did you learn here? Well, I've never actually even tried that. What do you mean you haven't tried that? Go ahead. So here you're going to learn about magnetic poles and compasses and stuff like this. You're going to be learning how to navigate, and here's my true north. They're going to say, I want you to set that compass next to a remote control. Why? What's a remote control have to do with the compass? And you set it next to a compass or a remote. You know what's going to happen? Your true north is going to change. Huh. Why did that happen? Make a note of it. Why did it happen? They're going to say about magnetic field. You know, here's batteries and all these other things. It can change. Oh, now I learned. Oh, okay. Now when you're out in the field and you're navigating, you go, stay away from batteries or whatnot. Or you go, why is this true north? Well, what's this thing here? Well, why do you ask that, Aaron? Well, because during my lab tests, I learned that, oh, okay. So there could be, with any prescription drug, they say lab test resulted this. Lab test. Go back and look at it. And so, and if you're not sure where you're supposed to start, go, okay, if it's healing, if it's loneliness, if it's finances, whatever course that you're not passing, all of us are acing one subject or another. But let's look at some of the stuff we're not doing so well, because we don't want to look at that. We don't want to look at the one room we don't have clean.
Yeah,
yeah, sure, you got to come and just don't go in that room or that room. Come over here. You're going to say, but okay, that's okay. But you say, okay, how can we pass that class too? Because who wants to clean that room more than you do? Christ. And you're going to say, let's do this together. And what was needed, as I got done talking to this person, they're like, 7.2? Wow, that's amazing, Aaron. I'm like, it didn't sound very amazing, but guess what happened? When I started that race, which is what it was, excuse me, I keep clearing my throat. Mashiach told me, you're going to do something that was big. You're going to win something big tonight. All right. And even when I got down, I was like, well, maybe I should have tried 7.5, because 7.2 is not big. Doesn't seem very big. And I got down, I was trying to explain to this person that, I go, Christ works. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's asking you to do something. You're not going to want to do it. He knows what he's doing, guys. And I was explaining, it works, it works, it works. And I started thinking about 7.2, and they're like, and I was like, well, really, what is 7.2? Well, it's 0.2 miles. Well, you know, if you're running a race, and the fastest I've ever run was an hour at 7 miles an hour, I would have ran 7 miles an hour. So a nose-to-nose race is a close race. You still win, right? Or if I beat somebody in a race and it's by a foot, if I beat somebody by 5 yards, well, man, you spoke that guy. If you're Usain Bolt, that, you know, one of the fastest guys, he beat people by maybe 15, 20 feet, maybe more than that, and he smoked those guys. I started thinking about that and go, well, what's the difference between 7.0 and 7.2? 0.2 miles. I beat myself.
Mm-hmm.
What is 0.2 mile? Well, a mile is 5,280 feet, I think. What's a tenth? Times two? I beat Aaron by 1,056 feet. My fastest time? That's 352 yards. Can you imagine seeing a race? This guy is dead. Where's the other guy? There's three football fields back there. He'll be here sooner or later. 352 yards? 3.5 football fields? It was just 0.2. You think he knows what he's doing? If he would have told me before I got on that treadmill, you're going to beat yourself by 3.5 football fields, and he would have gave me a visual of the difference between a nose-to-nose, a sea biscuit, a war admiral, and then this, I'm like, no. I can't beat my personal record by that, but we did. And so can you. You can do all things through Christ. And he'll enroll you into a lab, and he'll show you, and how you're going to do it is you can't focus that far, is at least what I did, and I focused, it was each song. And I can do, so my deal was, my father was the first person I prayed for, and I'm not thinking about myself. I was like, well, I don't know how long I can keep up 7.2, but I'm not going to quit on him. He needs my prayer. I know he needs prayer. And so I'll at least give him 5 songs. I can't quit on him. He won't know what's happening, but I'll know what happened. I quit on my dad. I can't quit on my dad. No way. I couldn't do that. Then mom was next. I knew it was next. Finally, I got through dad. I'm like, wow, how did we get through that? Oh, well, here's mom's song. Well, hopefully I'll feel really guilty. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but if I only got mom's 2 songs, Nobody would have known. I would be like, man, I feel a little guilty. I think I honored my father more than my mom. I got through one song. And then I got to the second song. Oh my God, it's the longest song ever. This is like, this is a 7-minute Led Zeppelin type song. How am I, this just screws everything up. But I did two songs. And guess what I did? I could do at least three. I got to four. The funny thing is I got a revelation with the fourth song. And the word of knowledge is going to change the fourth song. I'm like, what? It's going to be a really, really long song, isn't it? It's going to be the longest song ever. Oh, it wasn't the long song. You know what the fourth song was? It was the song I hate the most. That I never listened to. It just annoyed the heck out of me. But it was neat because that fourth song, I was praying for my mom. I was irritated. Oh, I hate this song. I'm praying for mom. I was irritated. I got to the fifth song. And all of a sudden, I got to 10 songs. At 7.2, and I got done, and then here's these people left over. I'm like, I'm doing it. I was walking on water. He'll do the same thing with you. Now, so next week we'll be Tim will be teaching 7 o'clock. You can enroll in these courses by going to teliosministries.com. You can email us at any time with questions. Questions are encouraged. We're all in the same class. We're all learning. And if you think you're complete, none of us are complete, and hopefully we're a work in progress, just like Moses and David, and being, okay, teach me more. How can I work on this? How can I get better? How can I get better at these things? And one day, all that's going to make sense. We're going to go before Christ. We're going to be kneeling before Mashiach. And every single act of obedience, we're not just talking about resisting the lust of the flesh, but every single act of obedience, whether it's a song, whether it's walking, whether it's praying, whether it's zipping your mouth, which is a hard one for me, you will not regret one of those things. You'll be so thankful. And every act of unbelief or disobedience, it's going to blow away like chaff, but you are not going to regret. So just imagine all those things. And so I'll go ahead and I'll give a closing word, and I'll give a prophecy. I thank Heavenly Father for these words we're about ready to hear. And we thank you that our brothers and sisters who are in Christ have you living inside them, and even before this prophecy comes out, you will show them how this applies specifically to them in their heart if they open it up, and all they have to do is crack that heart just a little bit. Be of good courage, and I know how to run. I know how to run better than anybody else out there. And I've called you to run a race that nobody else understands except for me. I'm asking you to run something that you do not understand. And I'm asking you to do it because it requires faith, and that is what my Father wants. I work for my Father, and I am at His right hand. And I look at my children, I look at you, and I look at your lives. And I look at how and what would it take to get this person to require faith. I look at each one of you as a vineyard. I look at you as an orchard. I look at you as a great field with all these things. And I think and I contemplate, how can I get the fruit of faith to come out of them? I do not ask you to produce the faith that you already know how to do or produce the fruit. I ask you to produce faith. So each day I look at you and I examine and I wonder what we can do to get you to produce faith. So each day, look forward to each thing that requires faith. And know that whether it's big or small, you don't have to understand. But it is a bud. It is, you can imagine somebody seeing the first fruit coming off a tree. The first flower in spring. how the gardener just appreciates and looks at it. And each day, you have a choice to open up these flowers and these buds. And the buds bore fruit. And you will never, ever, ever regret giving forth your fruit to my Father. Especially when you meet me and see me face to face. Amen.